So this one works. Check, check, check. One, two,
you
two.
Don't count it down. Just start rolling.
Welcome to the first installment of RVTV After Dark.
After Dark.
I'm your host, Chris Williams. And
I'm your co-host, Scott Sipker. All right. Yeah.
Kill his mic.
That's really how this is going to be?
I mean, I felt like there's an open position, and I took it.
Why is Chris whispering with everything?
Is this golf? We're already losing listeners.
Is this golf?
I wanted to have the After Dark theme to this as we're here in Norwalk.
Yeah.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the – I believe this is – you guys have been doing RVTV for like 40 years.
Keith started in 1965.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when he was 32. Really, it was the peak of his 30s.
Keith, what year did you start doing RVTV?
Thanks for asking. It was 1995.
Wow.
Those are good years.
Keith, I was six.
So was I.
But is Keith, this the first podcast installment? This is the first After Dark podcast.
It is. I think this is going to be fun, though. It's a long day. I mean, there's actually quite a bit of work that goes into RVTV and the radio shows, Sports Fanatics, Murph and Andy Show, the news at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10. And now we're here at 804 Main in Norwalk. These people have been fantastic.
They have been.
And now they're letting us set up the After Dark podcast. So, yeah, this is a first, and it should be fun. Let's go behind the curtain.
I'm down.
Wow.
I'm down.
Do the drapes match the curtain? That's what we need to know.
Can we start over or just kill his mic?
It's After Dark, guys.
Someone unplug Scott's mic.
So this is really, people who listen to Scott on the Murph and Andy show, they'll totally get this. So we set up, we're at this fabulous establishment in Norwalk, and we had this great idea to do this roundtable podcast. And I'm setting up like the headphones and stuff, and Scott just steals the second set of headphones.
Right.
Like, absolutely, he's like
co-host.
Yeah. He just completely stole them from Keith, the godfather of RVTV.
Scott's a spotlight guy. I'm the farthest away from the stick microphones.
Yeah,
I felt
whatever.
It was probably most appropriate for me to have the headset. Plus, I am co-host.
That's fine.
Who made you co-host?
I think I did.
So one of the fun things that I like about RVTV, and you guys probably have some good stories, but we're sitting here at this bar, and this gal, I mean, she kept bringing us beers. Like, just one.
We're in a Drew Tate jersey.
Was that a Drew Tate jersey? Okay.
So she's been a Hawkeye fan for a while.
But the thing was, like, it's not even possible for us to even be able to consume these beers in the time. Like, she dropped, and she means well. Like, she's probably been partying since, like, 4.
Oh, yeah. This place has been packed since.
But my favorite part is mingling with the locals.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, the one of the great things about RVTV, and it's the main reason Plaza RV is so involved in this, it's the small towns and the communities that get attention for something positive.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the most frequent comments we get is, thanks for coming to our town and doing something positive. Usually the only time we see the Des Moines media is when we have bad news, you know, a murder or... you know, something terrible.
Like a flood or...
A disaster. And they really do appreciate it. And like a place like this, you've been there. We've been in Humboldt when we drank the town out of beer for a while.
Yeah, literally.
We didn't. Not just us.
Well, yeah, it wasn't just this
town
table.
The town drank themselves out of beer, yeah.
Chris, have you set up who's at the table here?
No.
Because Scott just started talking.
Yeah, I was
ruined. Don't worry. If I was co-hosting solo, I would have done that immediately.
I had the idea that I was going to do that, and then Sipker derailed it like everything he touches.
If you're from Carroll, you know a lot about derailed trains.
Okay, so I want to do this.
Thank you. Ed's laughing at that because he knows.
I do know.
There's a lot of derailed trains.
I wanted to pass it around. Everybody say your name and your favorite color and your favorite animal.
Hi, my name is Scott Sipker. I'll go first. My favorite color.
Shocking. It's the least surprise.
Can we start over? Yeah. Seriously, can we start over?
Rewind.
Nope.
My favorite color is green because I love golfing, and my favorite animal is a Homo sapien because Homo sapiens are the
That's
smartest.
Not an animal. Okay,
what are you talking about? We're in the kingdom Animalia.
Cut his mic.
Homo sapien.
I'm Keith Murphy, and my favorite color is blue, and my favorite animal is a dog because dogs are fantastic.
Good look through on it.
My name is Mr. Soundoff. My favorite color is blue, and I'm also a dog lover. But again, Mr. Soundoff.
Yeah, my name is Michael Admire. My favorite color is red, and yeah, I've got to be basic like these previous two and go with dog.
Okay, this isn't going where I thought it would.
Yeah, Ed Wilson, and my favorite color is red.
Nice,
Michael and I. Yeah, and again, I don't want to be a sheep ever. But I am following along because I love dogs.
Guys, there's bears.
I love dogs.
There's cheetahs.
Ed should be a goat.
Yes.
Because he's the greatest of all time.
You're all lemmings.
To redeem
this,
my name is Sam Lozada. My favorite color is purple. Mm. And favorite animal is a white tiger, a predatorial animal.
Wow.
Sam, do you feel like you can ever look good in purple? Because I know a lot of nice people at Waukee, at Johnston, at Northern Iowa, in
LSU.
Prince's hometown of Minneapolis. But, I mean, can anybody besides Prince ever pull off purple?
Just because, like, you can't pull off the color doesn't mean you don't have an appreciation.
But do you ever feel like, man, I'm wearing purple, I look good?
To be completely honest, I don't have any purple clothing other than old college clothing. But now, I might have to reconsider. I have to reconsider the tuxedo colors for my wedding.
Oh, wow! Hold on. You don't have an appreciation for purple. Purple is the color of monarchy. It is the color of kings queens.
It's a very royal color.
It is royal color. It is power. It is power. Sam, I think you should keep your tuxes purple.
I'm Chris.
I'm gonna do it.
My favorite color is black. Cyclone colors. And my favorite animal is a cougar.
No surprise.
Well, you're gonna love hanging out with Admire.
Speaking of that.
Oh, yeah. Pull up that mud picture.
Admire, I gotta get the story behind this mud picture in diagonal because I legit had, like, eggplant going on. When I saw that Murph sent it to me, and it was straight eggplant.
That was
what does that mean?
Don't worry about it,
Keith. You know what it means.
Like that was. I mean, that's seriously one of the most handsome pictures.
It looked like it could have been on the cover of a magazine.
Yeah, right? Like you're. You know, I've told you this for years, Mike. I love you heterosexually, whatever. You're a very handsome man, and that really showed off your features.
I'm Ed Wilson. I'm sitting right next to him, and yes, he is a handsome man.
Thank you, guy. Yeah, that made me blush a little bit, all the responses, but that was all the photographer. I mean, Keith just captured.
Thank you.
Hashtag portrait mode. Keith threw it on portrait mode.
Seriously, if you don't have an iPhone 10, like, it's amazing.
I don't have an iPhone 10. I'm selling like 6 or 7.
And you have portrait mode?
No.
Oh, he
no,
took
I,
it.
Yeah,
Keith
I don't have it. Yeah, Keith took it on his phone. I had just dove like face first into this pile of mud that kids had been playing in all day. Rolling through the Warrior Run. It was a lot of fun, but I guess Keith just caught the right moment. For me, I don't know. Made me look good. That's what Keith does. He just makes all of us look good.
Admire, you had your legs crossed a little bit to make your waist look a little smaller, which made your shoulders look a little more broad. You also were puffing out your chest a bit.
I'm about a month out from the wedding, so
seriously,
I've been conscious.
Really analyze this picture.
Just please listen to the drag queen.
You're all jealous. Chris knows. He's the only one man enough to admit that when he saw me in drag, he had a little bit of eggplant moment.
Dude, my daughter has this toy kitchen. And she has
hard turn.
No, but she has an eggplant.
Of course.
And every time I see that thing, it just ruins it.
Oh man.
Can you cut this part out?
It's RVTV After Dark.
RVTV After Dark. I'm your host, Chris Williams.
Co-host, Scott Zucker.
Okay, while we're on the topic of cougars and that type of thing, Ed Wilson, I'd like to bring the mic to you if we could.
Yeah. Yes, my Chris.
Women love you. I mean, everywhere.
Older women now.
How does your wife deal with it though? Because you're one of the most popular. You're right. Old women, like elderly women, love you.
Yeah. My wife handles that really well. She handles that very well. At the state fair, especially, I've noticed.
There's some extra hands touching around you, aren't there?
Very gnarled up, kind of bony hands and fingers from these older ladies that will.
Gnarled up.
Totally open to going right up the bottom of the shorts. On live TV.
Seriously.
Yeah. Now live TV.
I'm assuming you're awfully, you're probably sweaty at that point, too.
Yeah, I feel like this is a moment of sweaty balls. Everybody loves it.
Pete Sweaty was his name.
Yes.
Right?
But it's kind of fascinating. I've always kind of done well with grandmothers and little kids. And not that the little kids are trying to shove their hands up my shorts. But
wow. That was really poorly timed,
perfect,
Keith.
Perfect timing, Keith Murphy.
That was Keith Murphy, everybody. Jeez Louise.
And we're really we're doing this RVTV After Dark. And it's right after the newscast. It's not like we're out at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're just unwinding right now.
Technically it is 12:11. Okay. It is tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, but the boys, you know, they get done and Keith's got to go take his makeup off and do all that stuff.
That's true.
Yeah. Sears, I've noticed one thing. The Mr. Soundoff bit is kind of taking off.
It's spreading.
It feels like people really think that you're the star of the show now.
Well, it's a movement.
Yeah.
It started small. But, you know, every movement has to, you know, generate and take baby steps to get big. And that's what this movement's doing. And it's taken over. We heard somebody at the bar tonight yell out Mr. Soundoff. It was audible. People heard it.
It's true.
I've had kids at games yell out Mr. Soundoff to me. So it's also like with the youth as well. The youth are also joining me on the movement.
I feel like
it's not just old people.
You're a lot more like relatable to the kids than Murph is.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like, yeah.
Yeah, that they gravitate towards me. They see me out with them. They know that I'm, you know, one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of a kid at heart, and they like that. So they, you know, they yell out Mr. Soundoff. They don't know who the other guy is. So it's one of those things that just, it's growing and growing in popularity. And I think one of these days, it just may have to just switch chairs in the Soundoff set. You know, I switch to the other chair, and you know, Keith just kind of, you know, takes
that
other role.
I don't think that'd be a terrible move. Wow. Sipker, how the hell did you get a part of this group?
This is the real. Like, this is
seriously.
The real story. Real story.
Like, where did you come from?
Yeah, the bottom of the barrel.
Like,
I had somebody ask me tonight, like, why is Sipker with you guys?
He's like,
it's the Admiral Stockdale question. Who am I? Why am I here?
It's like when Kramer starts going to that place of work and he doesn't actually work there and they fire him. And the guy goes, you're fired. He goes, but I don't even work here. And his boss goes, that's what makes this so hard. Okay, Scott, seriously, why are you here?
The bottom of the barrel, the worst part of my life ever was when Chris beat me out for an acting role at Iowa State University.
I was Marvin and Bleacher Bums.
Yes, after that, I was just climbing my way out. And eventually, ESPN invited me and my crew to be on there.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was really good.
On College Football Daily. And when that happened, Keith Murphy and Andy Fales invited me on to the Murphy Andy Show as a guest. And so it was my
favorite. That's how you met him.
It was my favorite radio show at the time, and I had been trying to get on the show for years.
Clearly, Fanatics wasn't on.
So we're literally starting at the beginning of your whole entire life story.
We're almost done. If you want to start at the beginning of my life story, I was born by flashlight on December 27, 1982. But well, don't worry, it was an ice storm.
Your parents were doing it in the back of a.
Well, that's an Allied moving truck.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere in America, but
okay.
So I go on to Murph and Andy's show.
Yep.
I think. I know the show really well, and I'm thinking, man, I was on Friday. They don't have a regular Friday guest. They're probably going to invite me on to be the regular Friday guest because that went well. That interview was really good. A week goes by, I hear nothing. So I email Andrew Downs a week afterwards and say, hey, I know that you guys don't have anybody on your show on Fridays. I was wondering if I could come in every week. And Downs writes back, actually, we're just talking about that. Why don't you come in this Friday at 2:30? And like that, I was in.
What does it have to do with RVTV?
Yeah. Well, then I'm in the I'm in the radio show. I become friends with these guys eventually, and then they invite me to co-host a show when they're gone, and then Murph eventually invites me to come on RVTV. That's how it happened. Because Fails had moved away.
So Keith is to blame.
Keith is to blame. Fails had moved on to morning or 4 p.m. or something at that point, and they needed a guy to come in and do weird stories.
Keith, do you regret these decisions?
Yes.
You just calmed down.
I'm glad you guys are really enthralled with that story. I left out a lot of detail, in case you were wondering.
Would you just,
that's fine.
Just tap me when he's done, would you? Just because I'm going to take a little bit of a nap.
Murphy, how many Emmys have you won?
Come on.
How many Emmys have you won? Just tell the people. Tell the people. This is After Dark.
No one cares.
Oh, people love it.
Serious question. Ed, have you won an Emmy?
I've won an Emmy.
That's my man. Yeah. Main man Ed over there.
There's.
What do you got to do to win one?
pay a lot of people. It was for a weathercast, but it actually sits in my man cave downstairs. It has a little light on it that my wife put in for this silly thing. And when you win one, you actually have to buy the little... You know, you have to if you want to get a copy of it, you have to get it, whatever.
That's a bunch of crap.
It's so funny, but it was an honor, a real honor, just to see my wife put that light up.
There is not an Emmy for best forecast, South Dakota State.
Dude, I was
right back.
Yeah.
So I was going to tweet this,
yes,
and Keith wouldn't let me. So I took a picture of Brett on the TV here in Norwalk.
Oh, no.
Brett was up there with the 7-day forecast or whatever.
Right. On Friday. I took the day off.
Well,
thank God.
So if people don't know the backstory, Brett came onto our show Friday and was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, if I'm a little concerned if I'm the folks in Iowa City, but if you're going to the Iowa State game, you're going to be fine. So there was a picture of him. I took a picture of him doing the 5-day or whatever, and I was going to tweet it out and just put hashtag fake news. But I guess Brett's been a little sensitive, and I don't want to throw salt in the wounds to Brett, my old friend Brett.
Right. You're really good friends.
Yeah, well, very close friends.
When I was at Iowa State, I watched you guys on the local Access channel together.
I love him.
Yeah.
I don't want to push him too far.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
So when I heard, I was listening that day. I took the day off because I knew that we were going to do RVTV. I just needed a little break. By the way, every time I take a day off and I needed a little break, something weird happens. So friends of ours came down from Minneapolis, invited themselves into our home with their two kids and their dog. So there was no break. It was crazy. I was trying to mow the lawn and get it done before this RVTV. So I'm listening to this, and I'm listening to Brett, and I'm listening to him put his neck out farther and farther and farther. I'm going, oh, man, have I been there? And I'm so glad I'm mowing the lawn today. It was brutal.
Yeah,
every meteorologist has been there, though.
Poor bastard.
Except me. No, yeah, yeah. No,
You have such a thankless job, though.
Nobody's happy, you know. And I really feel like, to a certain degree, meteorologists are a bit of a therapist.
Oh,
because
yeah.
If people can unload on you and not go home and kick their dog or their wife or their child, I feel like I've done a service. Screaming me, I'm good.
No, here's the thing. It's like predicting football outcomes.
Mm. Yeah.
Iowa State game. Most of the years I've got it right, but the only ones I've heard about are the ones I've gotten wrong.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you guys are right. I don't know what the percentage is, but it feels like probably
87.8.
Well, that might be a little high.
8.
It's very high. It's very high. But people remember when you're wrong. That's when they remember. But not only do you get it right most of the time, but you save lives now. I mean, that's fantastic. You know, in sports, we never save a life. Well,
I don't know about that.
Maybe
maybe admire in diagonal.
But the mud, yeah.
Otherwise, we don't save a life. But no, that's really cool. What is the percentage these days of a right forecast?
It's around 70%.
Very good.
What is your definition of right? Because
Here's the
strange thing.
So when you say there's a 25% chance of rain or snow,
yeah,
that means that only 25% of the viewing area has a chance for snow. It doesn't mean that when you're sitting in that one particular spot, wherever you're sitting and listening, that you only have 25%. It's 25% of the regional area has a chance
for snow. Well, you guys really should clarify that.
I don't want to do that because
there'd be asterisks
extra leverage. It's a great job, but it's a really great job because as I joke, you know, I'm not your surgeon. There's not a 25% chance of getting your gallbladder out, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have to take out malpractice weather insurance, so that's good. But
is there any joke that gets more tired than, man, what a job, I can be wrong half the time or most of the time?
90% of the time and still get paid, I'd be a happy man. Yeah, it is. But
what about the, like, when we're here at the RVTV and it's raining? Hey, Ed, could you have done something about this?
That's a tough day.
Like, I feel like that one comes
in. You got to just face it straight on, but it is a tough day. It is a tough day.
How many times have you gotten that joke in the last 2 days?
About 1,000. 100,000.
Middleman.
Yeah, I'm the middleman. You know, he says it. I guess that we get it. It's, you know, be glad I'm not your surgeon. Whatever deflection you can do. But bring this up before I can say it. Well, it's Iowa. It's Iowa. Stick around and the weather will change in 5 minutes. You know, it's not easy to do. So they already, when they're dissing me, they're already forgiving me. It's a great job.
Well, Ed, would you rather do weather in Iowa or a place like San Diego?
Iowa. I mean, I'd like to visit San Diego. Have you seen the weather people in San Diego?
Yeah, they're hot.
They don't look like Mr. Ed.
They're a bunch of hotties.
I'm never going to have to worry about doing weather in San Diego. But it's, you know, I'd rather do it here. It's fun.
How long are you going to do the weather, Ed?
As long as they let me.
Yeah.
September 12th will be my 30th anniversary at WHU.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
30 long years. And I thought Zabel been here a long time. You know what? I'm going to go for his deal.
How long was Jim around?
I don't know. Until
150 years.
Keith, when did you push Zabel out the door? When was that?
Murph is shaking his head.
Can we kill his mic?
It's RVTV After Dark.
Hey, does anybody need a refill?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably good.
What do you need?
Bush Light.
We got the silos.
Oh, you do not.
Well, this will be down soon.
I'm good.
All right.
I'll get one. Pass Admire the mic. I need to talk to Sam and Admire.
At the same time?
Yeah, here. I want to talk to you guys.
Right. I'll just sit on Sam's lap.
Right, you guys here, are
right here. Oh wow.
You guys are both engaged right now.
You don't need to each other?
It's legal in the state.
Just seems like a bad move.
Oh, yeah.
Getting engaged seems like a bad move?
Married and with a kid?
Getting engaged is a good move because there for a while, like, there's nothing you can do wrong after you get engaged.
But to getting married?
Yeah, but once you get married, it's all downhill
from
there.
What do you mean? As somebody who proposed live on television, there's no topping that. I only went down.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Like,
by the way, that was RVTV last year.
Yeah, it was up in Ames. Yeah, it was a monumental moment.
103 days.
We need to talk about that too. We'll do that after I'm done with this segment. But like, I remember when I got engaged, my wife thought I was awesome for like 2 weeks, and then. Everything went downhill and she started hating me more and more and more and more and more. It's still counting down to where we're at today. I just feel like I'm not saying don't get married. I'm saying you need to think through what the expectations will be. I tell all my friends who are going to get married this, do not like grocery shop, do not do laundry, do not cook, none of that at the beginning. Be as average as you can be.
So
and
this
then,
is advice I could have came like yeah, this 2 years
is,
ago.
This is, yeah, this is Harry Met Sally. This, he tells him.
I'm telling you.
Exactly. This is advice that could have been said before
no,
even meeting said girls.
The I feel like Sears knows what I'm talking about here because I can tell he's squirrely over there. The amount that you do at the beginning sets an expectation.
You set yourself up to fail.
Yes. Yeah. When my wife and I got married, she was in vet school, and I was doing everything. I cleaned, I cooked, I did laundry. And then, like, she gets out. We both have jobs and everything, and she expected me to still do it for her.
I got a good...
Your standards.
Yeah, I've got a good story, because Anna and I...
Anna.
Yeah, Anna. Anna and I met... or we had talked over like social media and text messages yeah. before we actually met in person. So
wait, was this a swipe left thing?
No, not.
You met her on Tinder?
Actually, Jenny. No, Keith Murphy's wife, Keith's Jenny, set us up. Anna grew
Tinder?
Up across the street. No,
was that
Anna
on Bumble?
Grew up across the street from Keith and Jenny.
Bumble?
No. What was your street name? Germania. It was Germania.
Yeah, Germania. It's German with IA at the end.
Yeah, Germania. So we had started like talking over social media, text messaging, all that stuff. We had a date planned. It fell through. We had talked a little bit over Kentucky Derby. So,
ooh, yeah.
When the date fell through.
Horse dates.
I sent her roses, you know, the Run for the Roses.
Before you'd ever dated
before
her?
Before I had ever met her in person.
So that Michael, what the hell is wrong with you?
That's out of a big limb.
Now I kind of it was good moment. It was good in the moment.
That's
but
a terrible decision long term.
Ah, man.
How long is this going to affect him, Chris?
The rest of your life.
It's going to last a long time.
Because you set the expectations too high.
Yeah.
There's no way you can live up to that the older you
absolutely
get.
He
didn't mention
no
he, for his first date, he wore a tuxedo.
Did you really?
No, we went to like 7 a.m. breakfast.
Keith, you've been listening to this.
In a tuxedo.
Am I on to something here, though? Like, to me, like, these two guys have been...
Well, Anna is way out of my league, so I had to step up my game.
Have you looked at the mud picture?
Yeah.
Nobody is out of your league.
It's all about photography.
Man.
So, but then what do you say that, like, for my situation, there was a decent amount of time where I had to be long distance with her, and so I had to try a little extra.
No, to then you didn't.
Like, I remember I had to do things like I found a specific app where we could just send each other like postcards in the mail.
Postcard? What the hell would you do
like
that?
A century ago?
You needed an app to send a postcard in the mail?
So I found, I was watching Shark Tank one day, and I found this, and somebody pitched this app where like, hey, like, you know, nobody sends letters anymore, but what
yeah,
if you
letters
to,
are
what if,
stupid.
What if you wanted to like make a postcard with a picture that was on your phone? Well, for a small fee, you know, a picture you took together, and then you're separated.
You know that you could just FaceTime and take
yeah,
your shirt
but it,
off.
But
and
it
stuff.
Was it's the but it's the gesture. Like yeah. I was thinking of her.
He went big too early.
I proposed on television. I know I went too big.
Oh yeah, that was really
people,
big.
People
really
looked big. At me and hey. Were just like, "What are you doing? Like you you think the wedding's going to be better than the proposal?"
That was a bold move.
I wish you guys nothing but the best, but you're both screwed.
Thanks, Chris.
You're
welcome.
Good friend.
Love you guys.
Chris, being married, I think most married guys would be like, I'd love to be screwed.
Silence. I actually heard a cricket. I heard a cricket. And we're inside.
So we were talking about when Sam got engaged last year. I'm not kidding, guys. I think of I'm 34. Top two or three most uncomfortable and worst experiences of my life was the Saturday morning of that Cy-Hawk game, because they put the RVs, and I had my father-in-law's tiny little pop-up RV next to the big one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like I had my whole family.
It's like an eighth of the size of the Plaza RV.
So, which is fine. Like it's a beautiful little pop-up. Like it works.
It is the nicest
it's
pop-up. Cool.
Yeah, it's
ever.
Fantastic, and it works
it
really
has hard sides and everything.
Yeah, it's great. And I had a great week.
It's after dark, right?
Hard yeah, sides. It's after good, okay. hard sides. Yeah, they put us in the student lot for an 11 o'clock kick for that game, and I'll never forget it. Like 4 a.m. And so whatever, I go and
Move
do
your
my
body like a cycle.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like that's what it was. I think that's what it was. And I came back and I see my mom standing next to this deal and my freaking 2-year-old daughter at the time. And my and like it's just these drunks all over the place. And there's a dude pissing all over my truck. He's a Hawkeye fan, pissing all over my truck because he saw the cyclone plates and we had all that stuff. And talk about an uncomfortable situation. I have my whole family there. 2-year-old kid.
That guy, he was in Ames. He had so many places
he tried to fight me.
Well, he could have pissed anywhere. It's Ames. He could have found cyclone stuff everywhere, but he picked your truck.
Is that because you're really you say you're the Iowa guy, but you lean Hawkeye. We all know it. When you say you could piss anywhere in Ames, is that why?
I'm saying for his perspective, he could have pissed anywhere. It's Ames. But he saw your truck. There was something about your truck that made him think, I need to relieve my bladder on this red truck.
That kind of stuff, though, seriously, that sucks.
It sucks, man.
When the rivalry,
yeah.
when it goes too far, because for the most part, we all know this, and we're reminded of this every year. That's why we're here right now. RVTV, you see the best of Iowa.
Absolutely.
You see the best of Iowans. You see the best of the rivalry. And actually, it resets me every year because when I see it, I'm reminded that most people get it.
It's not all Twitter.
Yeah, right. Most people realize it's a fun rivalry with friends, with family, with neighbors, all of that. They get it. And I'm reminded of that here because sometimes I overreact to the Twitter messages and the Facebook posts and the calls I hear on the radio. But this week really resets that, oh, you know what? Most of this is really positive.
Mm-hmm.
But like the idiot out there that thinks it's appropriate to go piss on somebody's truck and then you're with your...
Dude, I was holding my daughter, and he wanted to fight me.
Yeah, and...
It was horrible. Yeah,
that kind of stuff, you know, there's no cure for stupid.
No.
Not that stupid. And that's too bad. But most people...
He was a drunk college kid.
Yeah,
like,
most people get it. That's not the majority of what this mostly great rivalry is. And I will never forget, by the way, to just get away from the downbeat part of this, the 4 a.m., I finally fell asleep, and it sounded like, for those of you who have seen Dances with Wolves,
when the thundering herd comes down.
Are out there that have seen Dances with
Wolves? When the
thundering herd comes down, and it is just like, I mean, I can't believe the sound of all those people running into those lots.
That's the worst when we go to bed at like 2 a.m. and like 4.
Oh, it's horrible.
You wake up thinking, oh, okay, it's 9 and the game's going to be here. You look out and it's still dark out and kids are starting to run around.
They're like beer bonging.
Oh, and it's like 4 in the morning. You've slept for 2 hours, but you can't go back to sleep. You can't go back to sleep at all. It's awful.
At this moment, though, fails... is in the closet of the RV, sleeping soundly. Oh, yeah.
He slept through the whole thing, right?
He locked himself in the closet.
He was underneath.
It's like R. Kelly.
Yeah. Oh. Just think, though, like the paper-thin walls of that pop-up camper, how loud that was.
Couple of RV TV stories that resonate with many people out there know a deep sleeper. And Chris Hassel.
Oh, boy.
Bless his heart.
Here we go.
Yeah, two things come to mind. One, RVTV, it would be an odd-numbered year because it was up in Ames. And our general manager arranged to have the entire Iowa State marching band show up at the RV at 5:30 in the morning and start playing the fight song.
Directly outside the RV, yeah.
Directly outside
awesome.
The RV. Dale Woods was the general manager. And this is the part that is cruel about it. So they called up to us, our boss, Rod Peterson, they called up to us and they said, look, we got nothing for you guys. You guys are clear tomorrow all the way until the 5 o'clock news. We had no 4 o'clock news at that time. You guys are clear all the way to the 5 o'clock news. So just go ahead, make this your night out, have a good time, live it up, you're clear. So we went to Whiskey River.
Oh, Lord.
And we overdid it, and we stayed out late, and we were smart, and we had drivers and everything. We got back. It was late. We had a hot tub at the time, at the RV. We got in the hot tub.
Wait a minute.
Wait, we had a hot tub?
We used to have a hot tub.
I remember we had a hot tub.
I remember when I was in school at Iowa and you guys came over to Iowa.
Yeah, you did the whole week
in Iowa City. You had a hot tub in an Iowa City parking lot for an entire week.
Yeah, before we took RV TV on the road.
Think about how much pee was in that.
Well, that,
there's a lot of...
Yeah, there's some pee there.
There's other chemicals, though. Road. It's fine.
Yeah.
You had a hot tub.
We had a hot tub. Yeah. We had a hot tub.
But don't tell Hassel that.
See, the RVTV used to be in one spot. Ames or Iowa City, we would park.
Really?
The whole week. Yep.
When we first started, this is how different...
I didn't know that.
This is how different Jack Trice Stadium has changed. When we first started, the West Stands, the press box, the RV was, like, parked right under the press box down on the grass there, like, right along there.
Oh, really?
Then we moved to the end zone.
Yep.
Where the Jacobson building is now?
Inside the fence, like like right next to the end zone. We'd be right past the end zone for the entire week. And over at Kinnick Stadium, we would park right underneath the stadium, right there, and we'd be there for a week.
They won't even let us near Kinnick now, will they?
It's different. Yeah, it's a different world. But we had a hot tub there, and we would use the hot tub. But anyway, so we're late at night. We're in the hot tub. We stay out. We've been out too late. So we're up till 3:34 in the hot tub. We go to bed. We fall asleep, and I will never be able to make you or anyone else understand, because I can't exaggerate. I can't make you feel how loud a university marching band is outside your window when you're sound asleep. It's a miracle it didn't kill me. It startled me. I jumped out of the bed.
Did you poop your pants?
I did not poop my pants. But I...
Close. Good question.
It's a fair question.
Co-host.
I got up. I could not figure out what's going on, so I open up the window and I say, oh my gosh, we're being pranked. The entire marching band is out there. So I go outside, I open up the door, I immediately realize my flap is open, I gotta close the door. So, and this is all on video, you can find it. I close the door quickly, fix my situation,
and
open the
much.
Door back up. And Andy and Hassel... Andy is awake and says, I'm not getting up. Hassel is still asleep. He will not wake up because Hassel has trouble sleeping. So at that time, he would take prescribed sleeping medication. And it's like, have you seen What About Bob? Wake up, Bobby! Wake up! Come on, Bob! Wake up! He's jumping up and down on him. He just sleeps and he finally wakes up. That's what Hassel was like. He did not wake up with a marching band under his window. That's what he was like. So this is what happened then. So I immediately realized that, okay, they're here. Now they want good television. And for the next 2 hours, I have to go on and do live shots. After being woken up, I was out too late, I'm asleep.
You're just hungover.
Yeah. So the first live shot, I thought, well, I got to do this anyway. So I invite the band to jump in the hot tub. So we get in the hot tub.
Why not?
We do the live shots in the hot tub, the next few live shots. So then the next year, and this is unfortunate timing, actually, it's 2 years later, and it's become this thing. Our general manager thinks this is the thing to do. Dale Woods, you remember Dale? He's like, this is a great deal. This is hilarious. It's so funny to wake these guys up. he keeps this up, and this time, the police come to the RV at like 1 a.m. They say, hey, don't want to alarm you guys, but we got a fugitive on the loose. And this is real. The fugitive part of this is real.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah,
I thought Dale Woods sent the cops there.
Harrison Ford is on the loose.
No, it's fair. It's fair.
Not that many of our general managers would not do that, because they would. Or news directors.
I thought this was all Dale Woods production.
No, we have these guys up here. Just say there's somebody loose up there, okay? Some crazy person.
So the police come around. They say, hey, just want you guys to know, we've been chasing a guy. He's on foot. There's a fugitive on the loose in the area. Just high alert. So
great.
Yeah, it was great.
Signed him up for the football team.
So we're in the RV about 3 in the morning. No, that wouldn't be accurate. We finally go to sleep. About 5:30 in the morning, because the morning news is on again. They pull fire trucks underneath our windows and turn them on full blast.
Oh, my God.
And this time, I'll tell you, Sipker, for the first time on RVTV After Dark, I did piss myself.
What about Hassel?
They turn the sirens on. They turn. It's all loose, and they go. And I immediately think.
Fugitive's caught.
No, I think, oh my God, the fugitive is hiding under the RV. Because at this point, I'm not thinking police sirens or fire sirens. I'm just thinking fugitive. There's a fugitive on the loose.
Thank goodness you pointed that out. That you didn't think they were going to send a fire truck to get a, one of the fugitives under your trailer.
Right, at this point, I'm just thinking flashing lights, sirens, the fugitive is under the RV, and we're all going to die. So... It turns out that they were unrelated, the fugitive, and this had been arranged again by the station to wake us up, startle us, make me piss myself, and this entire...
Like, how bad did you piss yourself? Was it a squirt or was it a pool?
It was more of a pool. And Hassel did not wake up.
Shut up.
Did not wake up, which was infuriating.
This must be
despite
some sort of
despite you guys
pills.
Being in the same bed with the puddle.
We're not
puddle
in the same
of,
bed.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. My bad.
We're in the RV. We're not in the same bed. Wow. So then we're at Iowa Speedway. Like a night or two later, is there something going on crazy at the bar?
No, I just feel like these women might want us to leave.
Yeah, we probably should.
What's going on?
I feel like these people want us to leave.
I think we should probably hang out with them.
Are they? Okay. All right. We'll wrap this up.
I don't know. Rita seemed upset.
Okay. We'll check on Rita. So here's what happens. About a night or two later, we're at the Iowa Speedway, and the RV is parked on the track. We're down there in the pits. And Andy gets word that they have arranged to have a stock car underneath my window rev up and blast at full strength. Now, Chris, you know how loud this is.
That is loud. Wait,
this you is, will this poop RVTV yourself.
At the Iowa Speedway.
That is loud. Yep,
your colon actually might right. exit yeah. your body.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you know how there's this feeling that on RVTV every year I get like deathly ill?
Yeah, every year.
Well, it was in this period of time where part of the reason I'm getting ill is because I'm paralyzed with fear and I can't go to sleep because I know when I go to sleep, I'm going to be woken up by the boogeyman. I mean, I'm going to piss myself.
The boogeyman with a siren
right,
or with a band.
Right. So I can't sleep because I'm like, God, if I go to sleep, I'm going to be woken up by this horrible noise that's going to leave me feel like I wish I was dead.
So is this why we stay in hotels now?
This is one of the greatest things we did last night. This is one of the greatest things that Andy has ever done that was unselfish. He called Dale. He heard about the stock cars. And he called Dale,
that would have been awesome.
he said, Dale, yeah, I know the viewers love it. And they did, by the way. They love this stuff. And to this day, people will tell me, you know my favorite moment of RVTV ever? When the marching band woke you up outside your window. But Andy called. He said, Dale, we got to make a decision here. We either keep doing this and Keith either dies or refuses to do RVTV, or you stop doing this. And Dale, to his credit, they stopped doing it right then. But Andy finally got it. It's like, this is too much. Sorry, long story. It's almost like Sipker was telling me.
No, that's a good story, man.
I just walked out of the bathroom, and we're the only people in here.
Okay, we need
and
to.
And so I walked outside. I did find the bartender.
We got Ben.
Oh, we got Ben.
No, you don't need to roll, okay?
You're okay with us staying here for a while, buddy?
We're in no hurry. I worked with Keith and Andy back in the day at KXNO.
Really?
Wow. I was a switchboard operator.
Oh, wow.
And what's your name?
Very cool.
My name is Ben Godfrey. I went from 107.1 to KXNO.
Nice.
So, Chris, why don't you just step out of there?
Yeah, this is RVTV After Dark.
What stories do you want to tell about this crew? You can say anything.
It's well, the only ones I know were you and Andy back then.
Go on.
Go on. I love it. Yeah, good.
Yeah, give us a good Andy and Keith story from back in the day at KXNO.
Were they liked back then?
Yeah, did people like them, or did they think they were just jerks?
I mean, but doing the Cyhawk trophy and everything else, back when they did the trophy that was nobody liked, it was fun. Everything was a gentleman's time, but I don't think I have anything bad to, other than me mowing your yard, Keith. I don't have much.
Did he make you do that?
No, he made you do it. I worked for a landscape company that mowed him and Andy's yard back in the day. Oh.
You have the same landscaping company? You and Andy?
The one I work for. Close. Yeah. Well, yeah. I did both of theirs.
It was a deal through the radio.
I did not do Ed's, okay? I was good.
Ben, I got a question.
Ed doesn't work on the radio and doesn't get freebies like you do on radio.
You're one of the people who runs this place, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the most popular beer here in Norwalk?
Warren County Water, what you're drinking. Yeah.
The Busch Light.
Busch Light, yeah. But
that's what I figured it would be.
Other than that,
Warren County Water.
Yeah, that's what they call it, Warren County Water.
I love it.
Light.
That's a new name.
Yeah, that is a new name. Warren County Water.
If you run out of that, please, you might as well help yourself.
People are pissed off if you run out of the Busch Light here.
They get angry real quick.
It's fantastic.
You can run out of Bud Heavy, you can run out of Bud Light, but anything else.
Don't run out of the Busch Light.
No.
Sipker has been, for the last, 10 minutes, signaling to me that he wants to take a break, and I refuse to do it because he had to go to the bathroom.
Do you need to burp?
Yeah, I do. It's because of this Warren County water.
Warren County water. Chris, how long has this After Dark podcast been going? Because I know my story was about 45
minutes. We're at about 47 minutes right now.
Oh, that's not even long.
No, we're fine.
Oh my gosh.
This is nothing.
Yeah, the Ringer will do an hour and 20 minutes on one movie.
This is like one answer when you ask Gary Rima a question about the Panthers.
The Panthers?
Or Sage Rosenfeld.
Yeah, Sage gets a little windy too. Do you want to wrap it up?
I think that's up to the people.
Yes.
We wrap it up. We got a pool table over there.
Hey, do you guys have karaoke?
Yeah, we do on Saturday nights, but we also have free pool all night long.
Oh,
yeah, right. we do have free pool all night long.
Give yourself a pitch. Because I was telling you earlier.
804 Main here in Norwalk, same address, same street.
Well, you guys have the best damn Philly that I've ever had.
Yeah, no.
The city of Philadelphia has nothing on Norwalk when it comes to a Philly.
We do everything fresh. We do not mess around with that.
That's true. Yeah.
And we cut our own meats. We do anything other that isn't frozen. We take care of you people.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring my wife down here. Yeah,
Chris, I think before we go, you go around to each person and ask whatever questions you've ever wanted to ask here on RBTV.
Like, literally anything.
Yeah, just anything. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Rita would be a better person to ask anything.
Or should we?
Who, Rita?
For next time.
Rita would be really good at this. So
Aiden Hickey is the sous chef that came out. We met him. Yeah,
Aiden was a good guy. Big tits.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I can't say it.
It's another B word, not big.
Tickles, okay. His name is Tickles.
Another B word, but not big.
I can edit.
Rhyme for pitch.
If you tickle him, he'll poop his pants. So we call him Tickles.
Hey, it's a podcast. It's fine. There's not going to be editing.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
no editing.
I didn't know about you and your precious sound off page.
There's
mainstream
Chubby Jesus
guys over here.
There's no chance any of this is going on the sound off page.
There's Master Chef. There's Big Sexy. There's Gummy, who is me.
And you're
I'll
Gummy?
Gummy. And I'll take that one. Or Mitzi. You've got Ticks. You've got a bunch of people back there that
make great food, though.
Everything's fresh. We either cut it that same day or do it the same day.
That's good stuff.
It's not just the food that's fresh.
Yes, it is. Yes. No, you are right, Keith. Thank you, Ed.
You got it, my brother.
All right, let's go. Let's go around. After Dark.
As the co-host, should I mention that we should maybe tease
mic.
This idea?
Get out of here.
Tease this idea for next time, so we get people to actually tune in.
That's a producer's job, you dummy.
That's actually a decent idea. That tomorrow night in Knoxville, because you know we're going to be at Dingus late, right?
Oh yeah,
dude. If we could do an After Dark podcast at Dingus, do you know how big the eggplant would be then?
Don't say the Dingus either. I said the Dingus once. It's Dingus.
Just straight Dingus?
Do you know that
one of my favorite bars in the world, right with the Shittily D.
When do you post this?
Like this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to send it to Andrew Downs, and he's going to post it.
No. Like on the Cyclone Fanatic site.
Oh, you want me to post this on Cyclone Fanatic?
Yeah, because Andy is going to be live at Dingus Wednesday morning.
Well, I'll post it.
That's like in 3 hours, four hours.
I'll post it right here.
Let's do it. All right, let's go around. Go around. Get whatever you need.
Okay, real quick, we'll do quick hitters.
All right, go ahead. Quick
Sears,
hitters.
Do you ever, like, I know that we all respect Keith. We all love Keith.
Oh boy.
In our own little ways, do you ever just want to stab his eyes? Because he's always like nagging it. He's to me, he's like your wife. He's nagging at you. Oh, we need to do this. Got to make sure this is up on the web. Do you ever just want to kick his ass?
I'll raise my hand.
Ben does.
Wait, no.
Like, do you ever want to beat his ass?
No.
Like, my. No, he's the greatest boss ever. Right? Isn't that the right thing to say?
No, you say whatever you want. You're in a safe space.
It's after dark.
Yeah, it's after dark. You're in a safe space.
It's off the hours. There you go.
Yeah.
It's off the clock.
No, I don't ever want to stab him in the eyes. Come on. What the hell's wrong with you? Good Lord. No. It's all good.
You're such a liar.
Michael, your thoughts?
No, hey, I have a question for Michael. This is what I love about Michael. No, this is God's honest truth.
Thanks for being honest, Chris.
No, I swear, man. I've told you this before. This won't surprise you. When Hassel leaves, I'll never forget you coming to the Big 12 tournament, and we're like, who's this guy? Oh, Murph hired a pretty boy. That was a really tough spot. You kicked that, but like for real though, like you were the guy who replaced, and you've done a kick-ass job.
Thanks.
It's amazing. You've carved out your own deal, and you're way better looking than Hassel. Like, God bless you.
Well, I definitely know I'm still learning and working to get better and always. But no, seriously, whenever I first started, you know, I didn't fully understand the scope of Sound Off.
Yeah,
and the Murph and Andy
show.
It's a
different world.
I moved here from Southeast Kansas, so. I didn't fully understand it.
I used to date a girl from there.
I grew up
good for you guys. Oh, very nice.
Made out with her at a Kenny Chesney concert. Overland Park, baby.
That sounds about right.
Who didn't?
Kenny Chesney. That's true. It's actually really true.
I'm so lost on where we're at right now.
We went from Chesney to
you replaced Hassel.
I was complimenting you. I
never felt like I was replacing Hassel because, I mean, he was at ESPN. There's no replacing that. And John moved up from within 6 months. John moved up from the weekend or from my position now, the sports reporter, number three position. Weekend guy, and I mean, I don't know. And Keith always handles everything so well, so it's just...
I think you're an upgrade to Hassel.
Yeah, that's...
No, I really do. You're better looking.
You are hitting on this looks thing a lot.
You're more modest. I mean, you're not as loud as Hassel. Like, you're better than Hassel.
Your looks are a major asset to our company.
Does the mud picture need to be on the front of WHOTV.com?
Yes.
I took that picture.
Does Anna know how lucky she actually is?
Anna. Tuna? Big tuna?
Man.
Big tuna.
A tuna.
Man, you can just
these are like the most uncomfortable questions.
That's the whole point. It's the end of After Dark.
Anna has always, she's Honest. Been awesome supporting me all the way through. I don't know what I'm supposed to say about
end,
that. So
end
weird.
Of After Dark, you ask him anything you want.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Keep going. Anything you want. Just keep asking.
That's a loaded question.
And then you just move it around. That you're in control.
Are you?
And leave Sipker out.
I'm right here. Close this up already.
Pass it on to Ed.
Dear Rita, in here now.
Okay, so we had dinner tonight with Anna and Michael, and I'm telling you, she's the sweetest kid. I mean, and I say this because I could be her dad. It's scary.
But are you her dad?
I am not. Lucky for you. But
are you my dad?
No, and lucky for both of us. But she is so sweet and such a great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I can't say sweet enough, but she is just that. That is very cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to deal with that.
Thanks, Ed.
She is really sweet. We met them at Reclaimed Rails. They came by after the IndyCar race, and my daughter just fell in love with Anna.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's
Anna,
really good.
Why are you calling her Anna?
Because she hates it when people call her Anna.
Well, why would you do that then?
She loves it when they call her Big Tuna, though.
When you say Big Tuna is not what I'm expecting to come out. I'm in a world that is revolving around Frozen and Doc McStuffins right now.
Oh, you're way behind.
So it's Anna to me.
Yeah.
It's Anna to me. All right, Eb Wilson's up next.
He's right there. Ask him what
I'm trying to think about how I can make him uncomfortable here.
Oh.
What did you think about Ed during your internship?
In the rain with people that were mad.
Ed was always really nice to me during my internship. You were. I mean, I don't know. You probably don't even remember me from that.
I honestly don't.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
You were nice.
Me.
It's funny because I was going to ask you about Dan Winters, Clarinda boy.
Yeah, right.
You know that, right?
Although he's lived in many spots around this state.
Yeah, but he's from Clarinda.
Right.
Clarinda High School graduate.
Right.
And he is a guy who I think is fascinating, like as an individual.
Yeah.
I'm interested, both of you, on this. Replacing, we talked about Hassel. Bachman's a massive guy you got to replace.
Huge shoes.
But, like, I feel like Dan has done a great job, you know?
He has. Michael and Anna getting married, but you know when Dan and his wife Shannon got married, I think that was a benefit to Dan
because
he's almost an only child. So I'm an only child.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of issues with only children, or almost only children. But this helped him, and those two, the beautiful children that they have, and they have a third one on the way. Coming out very soon in just a couple of weeks, but. But that changed Dan, and I think Dan was not overwhelmed, but was very concerned that he could fill shoes of John Bachman.
Those are big shoes.
Those are monsters.
Yeah.
And John is...
John wore a 14.
John wore a, 27. He's big.
You know what they say about big shoes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big Bachman. So there was a lot to fill there, but he's... I know, it made no sense. But he's done really well, And this is a perfect example of somebody who wants to do well, who would come to me, or even I think Aaron Kiernan, you talk to as well, and Sonny Hitches, and tell me what I need to do.
Yeah.
Tell me where I need to change. If you see something I'm doing wrong, stop me and tell me to make sure that I don't do that again. I'm being very serious. That's maturity, and that's
Dan.
Somebody that's willing to do whatever it takes.
Do you think Dan is more talented than Keith?
Never.
No.
Let me tell you, there's nobody like Keith, and I won't work with anybody like that ever again.
Really?
Never.
Why?
He has the perfect situation with a great heart.
He does have a big heart.
And not only that, but brilliant. There's that.
Well.
Andy fails as well. I mean, these two guys, they work so well together, but there's a brilliance that works between those two guys, and this is that kind of thing that makes RVTV work. I wasn't a part of it to begin with.
Murph, were you the guy that thought of this?
Yes.
Where did that come from? Because one of the things that's fascinating to me, how the hell did you guys do this without internet?
Oh,
We did.
How the hell did that work?
Well, it started in 1995, and the way it came about, it's actually interesting because it was in the middle of Iowa's 15-year run of dominance against Iowa State.
Kicking our buns.
There was no buzz about the game.
Nope.
There was no thought from a Cyclone fan that they might even win. So, what we decided to do was like a manufactured enthusiasm. It was like, this game is so big, we're camping out at the stadium. That really was as simple as the thought was.
Okay.
The game is so big, we're camping out at the stadium, and we just stayed the entire week there. And the two guys that were at Channel 5 at the time, Rod Botholt, Jeff Grummer, they both had families. So they went home each night, but I stayed in the Cousin Eddie RV every night there at the stadium. And that was the thought. We're kind of trying to manufacture excitement. Because the people of this generation, past 20 years, it's 10 to 10, Iowa State, Iowa.
Yeah.
But back then in the 90s, you couldn't even get Cyclone fans to really even fake that they thought they were going to win in the early 90s. In 15 straight years. I mean, Iowa and Hayden Fry was the master of just being condescending about it.
Yeah, be like, and that's why.
Them boys, we offered a chance, a couple of them, to walk on over here at Iowa.
That's where Iowa State fans, like the older ones, are so pissy. Honestly.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt it. But that is how RVTV came about. It's like the game is so big. We're camping out at the stadium. But that was like trying to create buzz when there wasn't any.
Last but not least, John Sears.
I thought I already went.
Did you really?
You asked me if I wanted to stab Keith's eyes out.
Seriously, what kind of question was
that? That's a really good point.
That was a loaded question.
I mean, first of all, how does he...
It's like a movie, like, where the pupil is just ready for the superior to get out.
Wrap this up. Wrap it up. Wrap this up. And I haven't even got my question, but I'm ready to wrap this up.
Well, there's no chance he's getting a question. No. But sorry, seriously, go back to Sears because
all week
he's Mr. Sound Off.
Yeah, I'm going to let you close this thing out, Sears.
All right. What do we got?
Well, I'm going to let you. So this is posted on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network in the Murph and Andy iTunes page.
Probably not.
Really?
No.
This has been fun.
Did you hear some of the nicknames you threw out?
No.
Tickle shits.
Tickle shits.
Cut his mic. Cut his mic.
Tickle shits.
If people want a behind the scenes peek, this is it. Here at 804 Main.
This is going on the Murph and Andy page.
There's no chance.
Seriously?
How could this go on the page?
Why wouldn't it?
Just talk to Downs. Downs will put it on.
Here's what I'm starting to think.
The FCC has no hold on that webpage.
No, this is what I'm starting to think. You want Sears in my job. This is the way to get me out.
Say it, man. Just say it.
Downs is Keith's boss, technically, so he'll put it
up. I'm just giving Sears an opportunity here.
My gosh.
Get some things off his chest.
He's Mr. Sound Off.
All right. We'll probably be back tomorrow.
Yes.
What was his question?
But wrap
I asked him
up.
If he wanted to stab you in the eyes.
No. You're supposed to wrap it up with him.
No, I wanted him to finish it off and, like, sound off since he is Mr. Sound Off. I wanted him to sign off.
All right. How about this? How about John tells us what he loves about RBTV?
Yeah, perfect.
Go ahead, John.
As co-host, hey, John, I have a question for you. What do you love about RVTV?
Keith, thanks for the question, Keith. What I love about RVTV is basically this right here, after dark, the time we get to spend together and dish. No, man, RVTV is cool just to get all the people out here at these towns to talk with them, to see these people at the bar want to hang out with us for 2 hours here just to see us and take selfies with us and just be part of this rivalry. That's the cool part. Get these people out excited about the rivalry. It's about the people of the towns, not about us. I mean, we're here having fun, but it's about these people. Get them excited for the game, and if we can help in that, then let's do it. We got a big game on Saturday. Let's have some fun.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Seriously, do you think Sipker caught the message? It's not about us. I hope so.
No chance. As co-host of the RVTV After Hours podcast, I'd like to say thank you for listening today. I'll throw it over to my co-host, Chris Williams, to send us off.
Rita, thank you.
Hey, Rita.
You're welcome.
Thanks for letting us stay up late and do the podcast.
It's been a blast.
We've had a good time.
Sir, has everybody here been cool? Everybody been nice?
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Did you have a good day? It was a big day? Okay.
It was a fun day.
All right. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow night in Knoxville. Later.
At the Dingus?
Dingus
Lounge.
The distinguished Dingus Lounge.